Welcome. If you are here for the first time today, it really is cool to have you. I hope you get a feel of who we are. We're community first. I'm not much for one that is driven by performance or trying to put on a good show. Something inside of me creates a knee-jerk reaction to that. What matters most is Jesus. As long as He is glorified, His Holy Spirit is here, we as a community gather around each other, arm in arm, kind of hip to hip, and we just enjoy His goodness. That's what matters. And so welcome if you are here. If you've had a pretty rough experience with the church, I get it. I think we all have. I'm busy writing a book at the moment, and I was going to write one chapter of my pain. I have to start another chapter. It's a long chapter. All the others are way shorter. This is a long one. But you know what? She's still beautiful. The bride of Jesus is still beautiful. I walk both my daughters down the aisle. I know what beauty looks like. I can tell you their warts and all. I can tell you their weaknesses. But man, was that great and wonderful day when I walked Dana down the aisle and then my daughter, who's now in Australia, down the aisle. And it was a pretty sweet gig. I remember sitting with Nass. So they got married in in the city of industry. A friend of mine was the manager of the hotel there. And so it was this beautifully elevated space looking out over the East San Gabriel Valley. And we arrived a little early. Hey, I'm Germanic. That's what we do. And we sat in the car as people stumbled in. And we were holding hands together. My 18-year-old daughter about to get married. And we sat together. We just cried. It was such a God moment. We started walking from the car. I'm buying time while the dads and moms return. But it's a good story. And so we got out the car. Everyone was seated. About 300 people were there. And the red carpet kind of did a little bit of an L-shaped thing. And when we got to the corner, to the bend, she said to me, "Dad, can I dance with you one more time?" And I said, absolutely. And someone's comment was, it was the wedding where more men cried than women. I think because she was that beautiful and the guys were really sad that they didn't marry her. I don't really know. But Josh Grodem's song, "You Lift Me Up." Raise Me Up. Thank you, T. And you were 5 then, so you remember it well. And it was just an incredibly sweet moment. Now, you know why I tell that story? Because all too often, we carry the injury of what the church has done to us much, much louder and heavier than how beautiful the church actually is. That's what we should reflect on. Why on earth would I want to give 40 years of my life leading churches if it weren't for that truth? I'm not even a professional. I haven't even gone to seminary. I do it because I love Jesus and I love His bride. And I don't know what life, what does N.T. Wright say? Life after the life after death? Something like that. He's way too clever for me. But I don't know what it's going to be like. But I know that there will be a moment when the new heavens and the new earth come and we're able to look at Him, the groom, coming to fetch His bride. I don't know what that will look like, but if it's that exquisite down here, then imagine how much more exquisite and sacred it will be then. And so I love the church. Love the church. She's beautiful. And it's so beautiful to see all of you. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a few comments, couple of stories as we go into worship. We'll pick up in verse 12. If you have your Bibles, you can follow or just listen to the beautiful imagery that Paul communicates. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. Beautiful. He's kind of reiterating. He's creating a circular rhythm of communication. One body, many parts, one body. So it is with Christ, for we're all baptized by one Spirit and so as to form one body. I guess he's trying to make a point, isn't he? Whether Jew or Gentiles, whether we're culturally different, slave or free, economically different, we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of one part. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, what would the sense of smell be? But if in fact God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, and if they were all one part, where would the body be? In other words, we're not just all a floating arm or a cavity, a chest cavity that just kind of glides its way through nothingness. I mean, he is using every teaching technique to try to communicate there is one body, and in our case, our community, and there are many parts. The implication is simple. If you are part of this body, that means you are a part, a contributor, absolutely vital and essential. I was telling the pre-gathering prayer. My father is 91, and about 10 years ago or so, they had to remove his one leg. His circulation was all bad from years of alcohol and smoking abuse. And he's amazing. He's 91. He's strong as an ox. He still gets around on his crutches. And you know what? He can get by without his leg until he can't. Until he's standing in the shower and he's washing himself and he loses balance and he has no leg to stand on and he crumbles on the shower floor, soaked and soaking. Why? Because he didn't have another leg. And most times he could get by without the leg, but that time he couldn't. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The ear, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker. You say, Chris, I'm the weak one, dude. You should know what my week's been like. I stumbled, I stuttered, I looked at porn, I cussed at my girlfriend, I fought with my boss. I mean, I was just a pain in the ass. Well, it seems to be that the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. You quiet, introverted, hidden away, tucked away, no one notices you. Paul says, actually, you are essential. And the parts of the body that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, beautiful Genesis people, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Pause. What's the simple idea here? Paul is saying, we are one body. And one body is made up of individual constituent parts. And therefore, a healthy body is a body that has every part fully functioning. I told the story about my dad because I want you to get a visual, because you think, Chris, actually, who notices me? I'm always in pants. I'm always hidden away. Who will even know if I don't have? He puts his artificial leg on. You look at him. You think, oh, he's an old guy. He's on crutches. No one knows that underneath the pants is not a leg, but an artificial leg. And when he gets into the shower and takes the artificial leg off, actually he is at his most vulnerable. It's wet, it's soapy, and he is not well balanced. Most churches, dear friends, if I can be as bold as to say, are incredibly unhealthy because they've been built around three gifts. The senior pastor, who normally is the preaching pastor. The worship leader, who's normally salaried if you're a bigger church and you kind of get the best in the biz. And then you get the executive pastor who will do way better at the announcements than I will. And if you get those three right, you have got a good church. And people wax lyrical about churches, many thousands, but actually it's an incredibly weak, unhealthy church because it's a three-member church. Over-dependence on the pulpit, the guitar or key, and the computer. That's not the picture that Paul tells here. He's creating this image, dear friends, of a healthy church. I hate secret Santas. Do you? I hate it. You know what I mean? It's like such a bummer. I always cheat. I always spend way more. Because it's just like, I don't dig it. But you know what I hate more? Is that jolly end of the year function where everyone brings a gift and then you choose a number and you choose a gift and then someone can steal the gift from you. And some people, for whatever their bizarre, weird, mystical humor is, buy really sucky gifts. And others buy really cool gifts. And then you're supposed to steal the cool ones. It's like a Christian game. And then you end up with a sucky one. You hear what I'm saying? So this past Christmas, Merrill's therapy practice had their annual I Hated gift exchange. So Merrill gets two gifts because there's two of us. There's about 14 people in the room. And so my job, my singular job, is to make sure both gifts get to the tree. And so I put the two gifts into a Trader Joe's packet. Big mistake. Because it's supposed to be secret. So I walk in, and I've got salads and other stuff, and I put it at the tree, both gifts, one bag, and go inside. The next minute we are called in, it's going to be gift exchange. Choose your gift. Merrill says, where are the gifts? I say, well, it's over there in the Trader Joe's packet. She says, there are two gifts in one bag. I said, I know. What are you going to do about it? I feel like that Mowgli. You know that cartoon? And the vultures sit on the thing. What are we going to do? I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. Anyway, the gift exchange starts. Someone pulls a number, looks at the Trader Joe packet, takes the Trader Joe packet, and gets two gifts. Merrill says to me, what are we going to do? I say, I don't know. What are we going to do? This is your therapy practice. This is your gig. I don't have to do anything. It's all up to you. It's a great time, like Adam, to blame Eve. They get two gifts. They are in awe. Merrill put in a pair of African earrings, really cool, from South Africa, and some other stuff I don't even remember. We are traumatized by this because I'm a pleaser. I want everything to go really well. It's not going well because at the end of the gift exchange, there's one person without a gift. Exactly. Ah. So Merrill says to me, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, honey. This is your practice. You know what you're going to do. She has to get up and say, oh, guys, I'm so sorry. Now, you know Merrill, nicer than God, human being, has to now get up and tell everyone, actually, there isn't one gift in the Trader Joe packet, but there are two gifts in the Trader Joe packet. And the African earrings that everyone wants is only one gift, and the other gift is the other gift. What was traumatic in the story was, besides our embarrassment, and Merrill wasn't quite the ice queen, but let's say I didn't get too many points for my role in the whole thing. But what was the real injury? It was at the end of the night, someone had no gift. Now think about it for just a moment. If we apply it into the story, the Bible says that we all have gifts. So when we come together, here it comes, everyone has a gift. Isn't that what the Bible says? Everyone has a gift. So look in a room like this. Let's say for the sake of the camera, the 2,000 of you who are here, or at least 147 of you who are here, it means that you have a gift for someone else. And the problem is we create an overdependence by the person who holds the mic. See, because by your understanding and mine, I've got the big gift. It's amazing. These are jolly therapists. They're all very old, like from 53 to 75. And the moment someone brings in a big box, what's the response? Oh, who's getting that one? You know, I'm like, we're not a bunch of five-year-old kids, which is the biggest gift. We're a bunch of adults, we're therapists, we're pastors, we don't care about these things. Oh, I wonder who's getting the big gift. Who goes oh about the one little red packet that's tucked away under the trees with a little ribbon on? No one goes oh about that. But someone did. Someone who got the little red packet with a gift that was cute and well chosen and intentional. That person went, I'm really happy. Now, my thesis is an obvious one, dear friends. We create way too much dependence on the microphone. You kidding? You kidding? People left Bridgetown with John Mark Comer teaching there years ago. I mean, he is arguably a unique generational teaching voice. And people left because, yes, they didn't want the big gift only. They wanted other gifts also. You mean the worship wasn't enough? And I really enjoyed Bridgetown's worship. I can't remember his name now, Jill. What was his name? Yeah, Matt. Ziggy. Loved his worship. It was so cool. I don't know how he did it. I tried. I got in front of the mirror with my guitar. It just wasn't as cool. You know what I'm saying? He was just cool. So how can you leave a Bridgetown time together? You've got John Mark, you've got Ziggy. Surely there's something. No, see, I didn't want the big gift tonight. I was looking for another gift. I didn't get it. And so I leave empty-handed. There is an over-dependency on the microphone and the instruments, hoping like crazy that everyone here gets a little gift, a little something-something. But that's not the picture of the church. It says when you come together, everyone has something. You say, Chris, I've had a really bad week, man. I couldn't possibly pray for someone. Dude, you may have the little red packet that is tucked away. You're slightly awkward. You're slightly embarrassed. You didn't quite pay the $50 that everyone did for the gift. It's kind of tucked away. They're hoping no one will see. But who knows, maybe that is the exact gift someone needs tonight. I know it's a bit of a mind blower because we've been seeded by an excessive dependence, which is purely since the Reformation, around the pulpit and worship. And I've wondered, as I've told the story in London a few times because I preach in different places, I wonder how many people go home every time, whether it's a table community moment or a leadership moment or a Sunday gathering space, people leave going home and say, yeah, I didn't get anything. They say, what? Dana preached. You didn't get that Oxford elegance? No, didn't understand. Your words were too big. And then what? Tyler led worship with that kind of mop of Indiana hair. And even my granddaughter puts a cap on and say, I'm like Tyler. You know, it's like, really? You didn't get anything from that? Nope, didn't get anything. Sporing, it was slow. You wanted to just throw a cracker in and can someone just be happy? Yeah, because everyone doesn't get a gift from the big gifts. What about you? For a moment, don't look at me. For a moment, look around the room. Yeah, feel awkward. Just look around the room. Well, how do you know that someone else doesn't really need your gift tonight? You say, Chris, I haven't got much. Well, you've got a hug. Because for people who've been butchered by the church, who make it feel a very lonely, isolated place where you pretend a lot, maybe your disarming hug and just looking them in the eyes and saying, you know what, it really is good to see you. Maybe that's the gift. They go away and say, gee, I don't know what Chris preached on. Worship was fine, but someone saw me. Who are the eyes of this community? I'm coming into land. Who are the eyes of this community? Are you? Do you see? It's not always visible. It's not always evident. You have a way of saying, who are the ears? Who are hearing what God is speaking? The assumption is obviously it has to be Chris because he prays for an hour every day. It has to be him. No, maybe you are hearing God even way better than I am hearing God. Who's the heart? And the moment the heart goes out of rhythm, you know, Chris, there's something wrong here. I don't know. When my heart goes out of rhythm, I know, man. I know. I look at Meryl and say, we've got to go to the ER. My heart's just gone out. I know instantly. This is not cool. Are you that one? Are you the hands? Are you the feet? Are you the liver? I don't know what the liver does, Jordan, but you can whisper to me later. Are you with me, folks? That's the image. It's almost like Paul is saying, you know, this other stuff's a little complicated, tongues and interpretation and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and gifts of, it's a little bit complicated. Let me communicate it in a way that you understand. Are you the hands? Well, you better get put on someone's head and ask God to touch them. Are you the mouth that speaks words of love and care and affection? Well, you better speak love, words of care and affection. It's an exquisite picture, dear friends, and it revolutionizes the church. It removes the excessive dependence on the three, and it creates a culture of ownership and embrace of the many. So here's my question to you. What's your gift tonight? Jonathan's was the palm branches. And although I tease him, I'm incredibly proud of him for doing that. See, it was the hands. He saw. Brought them in, visually remind us of the great moment of Palm Sunday. It actually started with Lazarus being risen as Jesus spoke new life into him, and it ends when Jesus is resurrected. It's an incredible moment. This shouts at us every time. Remember, it started with Lazarus, it ended with an empty tomb. Do you understand what a great weekend it was? I want you to open your hands on your laps, if you don't mind. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to happy hour. And I literally want some of you to get away from your seats and to just come and stand here. Under your inspiration, Jesus, you gave us a different insight. Not just gifts that are fancy and complicated and technical that we don't always understand, but you gave us something so simple. Who are the feet? Who are the legs? Who are the hands, who are the arms, who are the heart, who's the nose to smell and the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the mouth to speak and the brain to think? Who are the parts of the body in this community? We don't do well when three parts do well. I've lain in too many ERs with my heart going out. It can't just be one part of the body functioning. Every part. Who needs your gift tonight? Oh, Chris, I'm so shy. Yeah, that's okay. I'm reluctant, man. This is all new to me. Yeah, it's okay. I'm a new believer. I'm really not that knowledgeable about this stuff. Yeah, that's okay. But there's someone who needs your gift, who needs your part of the body to function tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Genesis Costa Mesa podcast. To find more information about our community, feel free to visit our website, www.genesiscostamesa.com, or find us on social media at Genesis Costa Mesa.